This is Fresh Air. What are you doing New Year's Eve? I'm going to stay home, rent some films, eat popcorn, and drink champagne. I rented films last year, and by the time I got to the video store, most of the movies were already gone. Obviously, there are lots of us renting movies on New Year's Eve. We thought you might want some recommendations for films you might not have thought of that would be fun to watch. In a little while, Michael Barson will recommend forgotten B-films of the 50s. First, we asked film critic Peter Rayner to recommend some neglected comedies and horror films. Rayner is a film critic for the Los Angeles Times and is president of the National Society of Film Critics. Let's start with comedies.
I'm not entirely kidding when I say that I think Woody Allen's masterpiece is a film called What's Up, Tiger Lily, which I don't know too many people know about. This is actually his first movie. It was made back in the 60s. But what he did was he bought the rights to a Japanese James Bond-style thriller and then dubbed in all of his own dialogue. So what you're essentially looking at is a dubbed Japanese film with people like Woody Allen and Louise Lasser doing all of the voices for these characters on the screen. And the plot, of course, is completely ridiculous. It has something to do with the search for the perfect egg salad recipe. And there are intermittent cuts to the rock group The Lovin' Spoonful for no other reason than to cash in on the youth market at that time.
Okay, what else is on your list of comedies to rent?
Well, I love Preston Sturges, and there have been a number of books out about Sturges. There's even a collection of writings by him that was put together by his daughter last year. He's probably the greatest writer-director of comedies in Hollywood history, and I fear that, like so many of the movie people who kind of aren't current up to the last 5 years, that he's being forgotten by a whole new generation of filmgoers and potential film lovers. And I think his funniest and most neglected film is Unfaithfully Yours. It was remade with Dudley Moore a number of years ago, not very well, but this film was made in the late 40s. It stars Rex Harrison kind of doing a takeoff on Sir Thomas Beecham. And he's this insanely jealous conductor who feels that his wife is having an affair. His wife is played by Linda Darnell. And so the movie is a series of fantasies of how he would dispose of his wife and or her supposed lover, backed by the scores of, Wagner and other operatic greats. And it's a very, very funny movie, extremely witty, almost it's probably the closest that any Hollywood writer has come to sort of Shavian dialogue. And it's really one of his best films and one of the best comedies ever made and one of the most neglected great comedies ever made.
Any comedy performance films you'd recommend?
I happen to like all comedy performance films. I also like all stand-up comics because even when they're bad, I think it's sort of funny that they're bad. And often what they do to make up for the lack of laughs is funnier than the original joke. I think the funniest comedy performance film ever made is the first Richard Pryor movie, Richard Pryor Live in Concert. It's an amazing, amazing performance. I'm not entirely kidding when I say that it's probably the greatest performance I've ever seen, except for Olivier and Othello. It's an amazing one-character show where he not only plays himself and every aspect of his life, but he turns himself into various animals in the forest, in the jungle, Hollywood producer, his girlfriend, his wife. Just every conceivable person. He just splits himself into a million guises, and it's an extraordinary piece of work. Pryor has never really come into his own as an actor in any of his own movies, but when he's himself playing his own comic persona on stage in this film, he's completely unparalleled. There's nothing like it. The second film that he did, Live in Concert at the Sunset Strip, which was done after his freebasing accident, is almost as funny and also a really great film. I would definitely put those at the top of any live performance list.
There's been a lot of good movies in the past decade that have opened very briefly, then closed and kind of disappeared without a trace. Some of those films are out on video. Any comedies in that category?
Well, there are a few. There was a very funny, neglected comedy a couple of years back called The Best of Times, which was with Kurt Russell. And it's a very funny movie written by Ron Shelton, who went on to write and direct Bull Durham. And it should have been better known than it is, but it really didn't get the lift that it should have. It's about, you know, trying to recapture your fame as a high school sports star, and now that you're middle-aged, and it sounds like a tired theme, but it's done with tremendous wit and humor. There was also a film in the early 80s called All Night Long with Gene Hackman and Barbara Streisand. That's a really wonderful comedy, but also has a kind of lyric melancholy feeling to it. It was directed by Jean-Claude Tremont. It's the last film that he's directed. He's known as the husband of Sue Mengers, unfortunately, the famous agent, but he's really a wonderful director in his own right, and he's Belgian, so there's some kind of vaguely foreign film feeling to this American comedy that I think lifts it into a different category, but it's a wonderful little movie.
Do you have a favorite comedy of all time that's out on video?
Probably Some Like It Hot. I never fail to crack up at that one.
Let's move on to horror films. I think that's a popular genre for New Year's Eve, after all. It could be a frightening year ahead. What are some of your favorite horror films on video?
Well, there's a movie called Night of the Hunter, which was made in the early 50s. It's the only film ever directed by Charles Laughton, with a script by the great film critic James Agee, who later became a screenwriter and also worked on The African Queen. It stars Robert Mitchum as a deranged hillbilly preacher who marries into families with single mothers and then murders them for their inheritance. And it's one of the scariest movies ever made, although it does also have kind of weird humor to it also, because the children in this particular film are the ones who really understand that the preacher is a crazy man, whereas the adults all think he's just wonderful.
I'm surprised to hear you describe it as a horror film.
Well, it's, I think, has definite horror. There's definitely a horror to the movie when the preacher is following the kids at night, you know, by the water, and as you know, and the boy says, "Don't he never sleep?" And there's this real sense, I think, that children have that, you know, they're sort of being pursued by someone who is evil and who will stop at nothing and who literally does not sleep and sort of enters their dreams.
Any of the classic horror films that you'd recommend for New Year's Eve on tape?
Well, you know, Frankenstein and the original Dracula still hold up real well.
Sure do.
I mean, they're still really scary. The Mummy, I think, is one of the scariest movies ever made for some reason. Just the... part of it is, I think, the primitiveness of some of these movies, I think, makes them even scarier now than some of the slicker kinds of scare films that you see today.
Peter Rayner is a film critic for the Los Angeles Times. He's one of the contributors to the new anthology, Foreign Affairs, A Video Guide to Foreign Films. Michael Barson recommends renting some B-films of the 50s after this short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're looking for videos to rent this weekend or for New Year's Eve, remember that video has brought back a lot of forgotten B-films of the 50s. Michael Barson has edited several books of the original posters advertising these B-films. We asked him to recommend some films to rent, starting with rock and roll films of the 50s.
One of the great surprises I found last year for under $10, in fact, was the 1956 film Rock, 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 which... starred Tuesday Weld when she was only 13, and she was already a presence, although when she sang in this film, it turns out that Connie Francis was dubbing her voice. But like many of the rock films from that 55, 56, 57 period, the plot was really just something to hang the appearances of some of the top acts on of the day, and this one had some of the all-time greats, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, Chuck Berry, the Flamingos, and what I think is the only film appearance of the Johnny Burnett Trio. And there are other films that were cranked out to cash in on rock and roll, and sometimes this is the only way that some of the great acts were preserved, thanks to these films, because the ones that didn't make it onto Ed Sullivan had no other venue to appear, so these perform that great service of letting us see how they were at their peaks.
What other rock and roll films can you recommend?
Well, Mamie Van Doren was in a lot of films, Girls Town, Untamed Youth, but High School Confidential, where Jerry Lee Lewis comes on singing the credits, banging a piano in the back of a truck as he's sitting there, that's really one of the best. It involves a plot of teens pushing marijuana in high school to mix in with the rock and roll, and of course Mamie Van Doren herself, who's her own kind of iconography. That's another favorite of mine. The Elvis movies from the early period aren't bad. The Loving You is probably the best of those from 1957, but you don't want to really subject yourself to too many full-length Elvis movies. But I noticed that this year a collection of his trailers for just the 2 or 3 minute ads for each film was put out on video inexpensively, and that's perhaps the best way to sample Elvis without sitting through 90 minutes of Blue Hawaii or some other unspeakable things he did later in his career.
But you want to watch all of Jailhouse Rock.
Yes, Jailhouse Rock and Loving You are both excellent films from beginning to end with, you know, just terrific songs all the way.
Now, you also know a lot about cheap science fiction films.
Yes, this is, I guess, the category nearest and dearest to my heart because growing up, I wasn't of the age where I could see many of them, and it always was just out of reach for me like candy. And now that they're becoming available on video, it's great to catch up with them. Just a few months ago, Zsa Zsa Gabor's Queen of Outer Space from 1958 was made available, and that is just a terrific movie about a race of women on Venus who are visited by a few Earthmen. A familiar plot, perhaps, but with Zsa Zsa in there, it's unique.
Any others to recommend? Science fiction, cheap films?
Some of the more famous monster ones are on tape now. The Blob, with a very young Steve McQueen. The Giant Claw, which was a monster bird attacking that looked pretty much like a plucked turkey, and it was a marionette, actually. So in terms of special effects, this definitely is in the grade Z rather than grade B category. And then some of the kind of good ones. It Came from Beneath the Sea, a giant octopus attacking San Francisco, animated by Ray Harryhausen, who was one of the best in the 50s. And Creature from the Black Lagoon is quite good. It's on video, and my two-year-old enjoys it immensely because every time the monster or his hand appears, the orchestra blares out, so it's perfect for a party where you can talk for 10 minutes at a time and then just turn and watch the good parts, which are conveniently announced for you.
Well, this is an interesting point, though. If you're looking for family fare for New Year's Eve, you might want to think about good monster movies.
Yes, they're always fun. Some of them are really good, and some of them are so bad that they're good, but I can't imagine you'd get many complaints putting them on New Year's Eve. And if you're not familiar with a lot of the ones, there is a tape that's out now called Monster Mania, where just the trailers of about 30 of these things are shown. And of course, the trailers always made each one look like the greatest movie ever made. And this has bits and pieces from things like The Creature from the Black Lagoon and Target Earth and The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. And it's a fun way to just get 2 or 3 minutes of highlights of each of these films.
Other Lost B films you'd recommend for us to rent on New Year's Eve?
Well, a couple that came out in 1991 after being unavailable for many years, slightly different categories. Gun Crazy, which was originally released in 1949, just a terrific picture about a Bonnie and Clyde type of couple who rob banks and eventually come to a bad end, although that's really not doing the film justice. It was directed by Joseph Lewis, and it's very, very exciting, and the low budget didn't hurt at all the drama of it, and it's really a lost classic, and to have it around again is terrific. And from that same year, 1949, a movie that's nowhere near as good as Gun Crazy, but is certainly immensely enjoyable, The Red Menace, which was put out at the height of the Red Scare, and in fact put out by Republic partly to pacify the HUAC investigators, because at that time every studio was very worried about being investigated. And this is just absolutely great loony stuff about the Reds in Los Angeles who are going to take over the United States after they get finished with their little basement meetings about party doctrine. And there's no name actor in it at all, but it's just hilarious. Everybody makes a speech every time they speak, and they all come to bad ends, and it's just a terrific thing that you couldn't find for many, many decades.
A good film to celebrate the end of the Cold War.
Well, yes, indeed. Now that we can see that we've won, you can enjoy even more the total lunacy of some of these hysterical things that came out during that 40s and 50s period.
So, Michael, what will you be doing on New Year's Eve?
Well, I'll probably be watching some combination of these. I am not going to attend a party, but again, since my little lads seem to like these, I guess we'll just go from one to another until it's time to celebrate the new year.
I wish you a very happy new year.
Well, same to you, Terry. Thanks.
Michael Barson is completing a book on communist scare memorabilia called Better Dead Than Red. His collection of romance comics, Boy Loves Girl, Girl Loves Boy, will be published in early 1992. This is Fresh Air.